Now I should be joined on the line by Sally Ann from the Irish Menopause. Good morning to you, Sally Ann.
Good morning, Debbie. How are you?
I'm not too bad. It's a while since we spoke and you were in the studio, and hopefully very soon you might be able to come back into us live. It's just at the moment we're doing all our interviews over the phone, so I haven't seen you for a while, but I've heard you on different radio stations and you're doing really, really well. We're getting the word out there about menopause and it's great. Now, I know we spoke about the menopause before, but today we're just going to kind of talk about HRT, which is hormone replacement therapy. So to some people that's a very frightening thing and, oh, I'm too afraid to take it. So tell us a little bit about exactly what are the benefits of hormone therapy, hormone replacement therapy.
Sure, Debbie. Firstly, just to point out, I'm not medically trained, so that's the important part here. But obviously, we research this and it's the work that we do. So HRT, it's just three letters. It's hormone replacement therapy. And if we look at menopause for what it is we're running out of hormones, low levels of hormones. So we're replacing what's missing, like you would be if you were deficient in B12 or vitamin D. You'd replace that. And what it does for you is, you know, there's very, very strong evidence it will help prevent against osteoporosis, which one in two women get. There's a 50% reduction in heart disease, believe it or not. And, you know, all-cause mortality is reduced by a woman on HRT. So a woman on HRT will live a little bit longer than those who aren't and will have a better quality of life. And in addition to those medical things, you will feel better. Because menopause is really tough, we feel better. The emotional turbulence will stop. The hot flushes and sweats will stop. The aches and pains you have all over your body, and the 40 plus symptoms we have, it will resolve all of those.
Yeah.
And in addition to feeling well and resolution of these symptoms, you'll be healthier.
Mm.
And that's the bottom line here, Debbie.
Well, that's it. And you mentioned there your heart, it can improve heart and blood pressure. Seemingly, I've heard now, it can also reduce your blood pressure if you're on HRT. Now, if you already have these ailments, will it help? Will it still help you with them? Can it, you know, even though the damage is there, could it still? I know you're not medically trained, but have you heard through this?
Yeah, I'm not medically, and it's very complicated in the sense that, you know, you're saying if you already have these ailments, I mean, were these ailments driven by hormone depletion in the first place? Like, for example, in our support group, we regularly see women, and one of the big things with menopause is when estrogen drops, cholesterol rises.
Mm.
And we've all these women for no, you know, logical reason have high cholesterol. They don't understand that, you know, it's to do with estrogen deficiency.
Mm.
And what we're seeing repetitively is women coming back, you know, saying, oh my God, I just had my bloods done and my cholesterol's right back down. And it's since they've been on HRT. So that's a very good example.
Oh, really?
Of what it can resolve.
Mm.
It's not the case for everyone, obviously. And we are all so individual.
True. Now, you see, what we're hearing, right, the average age of menopause is around 51, 52.
Yeah.
And the average death of a woman is in her 80s now, 81, 82, 83. So we're living a lot longer than we did years ago. And we have heard that story, like, if you look back years ago, a lot of women around this age group in their 50s ended up in asylums because of losing the estrogen. And they were classed as mentally unstable and admitted into
and
asylums.
Hysterical.
And hysterical. Yeah. So, you know, we have come on a long way, as you said, like that's gone back years, and women didn't live to be the ages that they are today. So as you mentioned, if you have, say, your thyroid, you have a deficiency in your thyroid, you get tablets to help you. If you have diabetes, you get that to help. So why aren't we getting this? Why aren't we automatically being given this when we hit this certain age?
I'd love to be able to answer that. I've often asked myself that, because the benefits do outweigh the risks for the majority. And I suppose it's down to information, misinformation, fear, the media scaring that we had years ago. And it's very individualised. Not everyone will see menopause in the same eyes that I will or that you will. Some people still believe it's a very natural part of life and that we should just, you know, buckle up and carry on. Everyone has a different opinion on it. I suppose with the research I've done, I found that very questionable because, you know, in the 1800s, for example, we weren't expected to live past 50. So some women didn't even reach menopause, or if you did, it was menopause and then end of life. And what I've also seen is this huge pattern globally of ill health in females post-menopause, and post means, you know, after the periods have stopped. because we now know the links with oestrogen and our immune system, for example. We have an oestrogen receptor in every cell in our body. And there's just so much really good information out there, but there's also so many differing opinions, and even those opinions are in the medical field, different opinions. So it really is a very, very confusing subject for many. And, you know, you're never going to get two people with the same opinion on this.
And we all kind of, you know, would have classed, oh, she's going through the menopausal hot flushes, but sometimes you don't even get that. There is so many other symptoms, as you mentioned, 41 different symptoms. So your general doctor probably doesn't know probably enough about it, because you're getting hot flushes, no, well then you're not suffering. But there is so many other symptoms that go along with it.
That's a huge problem, Debbie. I see that as a huge problem, because we all talk about hot flushes and night sweats. Not everyone gets them, and they're not the most common symptom at all. And then what happens is menopause gets lost, and you have a woman who has aches and pains, you know, or maybe just sore ankles and headaches and bloating and indigestion problems, and maybe her ears are ringing. The list goes on. And because there's no flushes and sweats, there's nothing jumping out at you to say this is menopause. And then because of the lack of education at every level, people aren't joining the dots. And this is really, really sad. I've spoken to so many women that they didn't have a clue that what was wrong with them was anything to do with menopause. This is where the education is needed. Everyone needs a full education. And, you know, there's 40 plus symptoms. I mean, I've lost count. The symptoms just go on and on and on and on. And you'd never in your wildest dreams think menopause. Never think it. And also, menopause is one day. It's the day you haven't bled for 12 months.
Yeah.
That's it. We've got perimenopause. And that can be as long as a piece of string. Generally, our hormones start to shift from 35. And some women don't notice this, and they only become symptomatic maybe in their 40s. But every woman is different. Like, I was symptomatic at 35, all the way through. You know, it really happened on the button for me. So the perimenopause is a very, very, very long journey by the time you actually reach your final period.
It's mad, isn't it, really? Like, we've been taught, you know, PMT. We all know about that. We know all about, like, postnatal depression, what goes on in a woman's body, you know, after having the baby. But yet, we don't know really anything about menopause. It's not out there at all. Like, it's mad.
I just said this at a meeting yesterday, that, you know, it is the, you know, it's an unusual analogy, but it's the equivalent of if we didn't educate kids on periods. And if every kid got a period and thought she was the only one, she'd be terrified, and she'd be afraid to tell anyone that, you know, she's got this blood. And, you know, we've normalised that over the years. The periods, we all talk about them. Young girls know they're going to get them. They know what they mean. But menopause, no. And menopause is the loneliest place a woman can be, because we don't talk to one another about it. And every woman will tell you she's fine. And this is a huge problem. Oh, I'm fine, thank you. No, that doesn't happen to me. There's silence, there's taboo, there's stigma. And this is what creates this loneliness. We need to support one another, and we need to speak about it, and we need to normalise it.
Exactly. And it's like, as well, you know, oh no, I sailed through it, I didn't have anything. It's like a badge of honour if you don't take HRT. Oh no, I don't need that, I'm fine. But if you don't really have many symptoms, is it still of benefit to take HRT? To avoid,
wonder. That isn't for me to say or to advise. Obviously, I'm not medical. I have my own opinion on it. I would take it, even if there was no symptoms. Yes, I would. But that's my choice and my body.
But would you do that, Sally Ann, just to hopefully not get these other symptoms like osteoporosis or arthritis? Is that why you would take it?
I think I would. Yeah. You know, I'm not saying I'd approach it like a prophylaxis. But, I mean, I think, you know, if I knew what I know now, and even if I wasn't symptomatic, I would certainly, certainly for my long-term health, because it's the silent stuff, like osteoporosis is completely silent, for example, heart trouble, things like that, I would, but that's just me.
Yeah. And why is it so hard? I mean, we've been hearing interviews. Why is it so hard for a woman to get a consultation, to get diagnosed and to get help?
Simply because, Debbie, medics, not all of them, obviously, but it's not included in standard training. Some GPs are brilliant with menopause. Some really don't know anything about it. Everyone has a different opinion and a different view. And there's no fluency here, and there's no consistency. we need everyone to be on the same page and to actually understand menopause. And as I always say, women need to be able to make an informed choice on their health and their life, not based on fear-mongering or based on opinions. Because, you know, what we see in our support group is one woman goes to a GP and the GP told her that this just happens when you get older and buckle up and get on with it. Whereas the next GP will be really brilliant and will talk them through everything and help them make an informed decision. It's not right and it's not fair. And it's very difficult for women. And one of the big things at this time is apathy, depression, anxiety are the biggest symptoms. And the majority of women are leaving doctor's offices with antidepressants. And I'm not knocking them. They have a place. Mm. However, a lot of this is hormonal. And hormonal depression and anxiety and panic attacks generally won't resolve with an antidepressant because your body is screaming out for hormones, not for an antidepressant. And then we also need to remember the longer-term view on this. Even if your antidepressant does help you, great. But what about your bones and your heart health? You know, these are the silent ones. You don't know what's going on inside you. And again, this comes back to an informed decision. The amount of women I speak to that have no idea of what they might call, you know, the health consequences of menopause. They don't know. They don't know they have a 1 in 2 risk of osteoporosis, for example. And if they'd say to me, if I had have known, I would have, you know, taken HRT years ago, but it's too late now.
I wonder, is it too late if you have already been gone for your DEXA scan and have been told you have some osteoporosis? Is it too late then to start on HRT?
No, nothing's ever too late. And many women have actually reversed osteoporosis, believe it or not, with HRT. And from the research I've done, nothing rebuilds bone like estrogen does. So it's all very positive. Sadly, you know, we do come across some women who are well past menopause and they have sadly developed some health issues, and particularly around cardiovascular health. And it can be too late then to start HRT. But again, I'm not the Medicare.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's very, very individualized. There's women out there in their 60s, 70s, 80s who have really good blood vessel health. There's no reason they can't get onto HRT. It's very individualised.
Yeah, and there's so much out there. That's what we were supposed to kind of been talking about today. The different types of HRT. And we know there's body identical, and there's tablets, there's patches, there's gels. I know you're not medically trained, Sally Ann, but just from your own opinion, do you know the difference between these, or what would probably, if someone is very nervous to start in it, can you start off in a lower dose, like of a patch, or what way does it work?
Yeah, we all talk about body identical, and what that means is exactly as it says. It's body identical. It's the same molecular structure as your hormones. They've mimicked the molecules. It's identical, so your body will welcome it and recognise it. And then we have the older style HRTs, which are synthetic, which is what it says. They're man-made. Ideally, body identical is what we want. And the risks that we hear about in relation to blood clots, for example, that's the biggest thing we hear, is I can't take HRT, I have a blood clot, or there's blood clots in the family, or you just can't take estrogen in a tablet form, but you can use a patch of gel or a spray, which is known as transdermal, through your skin. It's not going into your liver.
So that's the difference. It's not going into your liver where a tablet form would go into your liver.
Yeah, when you take an estrogen tablet, it goes straight to the liver to be metabolised. It's called first pass, and that's where your clotting factors are made.
Okay.
So HRT in its tablet form is a huge no for someone with blood clot history or maybe risks like that in the family. People with migraines as well, not ideal. And again, this happens, women are told, oh, you can't have HRT, you suffer with migraines. And that's not true, and it's also not fair, because that woman has been denied something she wants because of outdated information. She can use a patch, a gel or a spray.
See, that's the thing. We haven't got enough information. Yeah, there's not enough information out there to explain to women. Like, they probably would go to a doctor and say, I just need HRT. Maybe the patches might suit them better. And they're not getting that. They're probably getting a tablet. We know there is the doctors out there that you can make appointments with, but your own GP should have some information to give you, and don't suffer in silence. If you feel you need something, go and ask your doctor and see. As you said, some doctors are more knowledgeable and some aren't.
Yeah.
But
there's great information, just to say to women, there's great information available, you know, with ourselves, obviously, the Irish Menopause. But someone like Dr. Louise Newson in the UK, her website is phenomenal. It's menopausedoctor.co.uk. you could make yourself a cup of tea, get stuck into that website, get all your information and go straight to your GP armed with the information of what you want.
Definitely.
You know, and at least you have an understanding of why you want X, Y and Z. And transdermal really is the modern, it's the way to go. And it's the safest. It's, you know, practically no risk compared to the tablet form.
Is that the body identical one?
Body identical, yeah. There are hormones called bioidentical, yeah. Debbie, but we don't really come across them in Ireland. They're not the regulated ones, but body identical, yeah. Synthetics are, as we say, synthetic, the older style, and not recognised by the body. A bit like the contraceptive pill is synthetic. Some women get on beautifully with it, others don't.
Yeah.
And what I'd say to any woman listening, if she didn't get on well with the pill, steer clear of synthetic hormones because you're in the same territory there, but body identical, completely different. They can't be compared.
Yeah, and I know it has been said before. I've looked at so many of YouTube videos that the older HRT, remember all the women were on and they came off it because there was a big scare of breast cancer and all that. And, you know, that was all a myth. You're more prone even probably to have to develop breast cancer or stroke if you drink a lot of wine or you're obese.
That's correct, yeah. That if you drink 2 units of alcohol a night, your risk of breast cancer is bigger than it would be with HRT. And again, it's about weighing up the risks too, because those risks are mostly associated with MPA, which is medroxyprogesterone acetate, which is a synthetic progestin that isn't really prescribed anymore. That was years ago. And again, we're talking synthetics here. So if you go body identical for both hormones, if you need estrogen and progesterone, if you still have your uterus, if you go body identical for both, you're minimising your risks.
And would
that's
that
really
mean,
important to know.
So that would mean estrogen and progesterone. Am I right with that?
Natural progesterone,
natural.
Yeah. There's only one available to us called utrogestan. It's micronized and it's body identical. It's the only one of its kind.
Okay, and are they both gels?
The progesterone, the utrogestan, comes in a tablet form, but that doesn't have the clot risk we're talking about because this is natural progesterone.
Great.
It's the only one of its kind. So if someone is starting from scratch and they want the safest type of HRT, you want estrogen through your skin, a patch, a gel or a spray, and utrogestan as your progesterone.
That's good to know, Sally-Ann. Thanks a million, because I know there's people in here today and they're going through hell. And they really are.
Yeah.
But they're terrified because they've maybe had a mother who had breast cancer or someone who has had a stroke in the family.
Yeah.
And they're just too afraid and they're going through so many symptoms that I know one of my symptoms is insomnia and it's driving me mad. It's terrible. So there's nothing worse. And then I've been reading insomnia can bring on heart disease. You know, if you're not getting your proper sleep.
Yeah.
So and there's nothing worse than not sleeping. Yeah. So, I mean, do go and talk to your doctor or your Well Woman Centre even. They can be very good as well. And, you know, let's get this out there and let's start talking about it more and educating people, educating our doctors to help women. I said, like, we've gone through...
And I think we're getting there, Debbie. You know, there's been so much media attention recently and the conversation is out there. And so many of us don't understand what menopause is and what it means. And it's a really scary, lonely place.
Yeah. Well, you know, you've been in here, Sally, and you've told your story, and it's horrible to have to go through this for years. And I know you yourself had to go to doctor after doctor until you finally found someone. But what you went through, living hell. I mean, maybe again we'll have a chat with you when you can come in, and we'll get it out there again and get women on to get onto the doctors and get the help they need. Because as you said, if you have thyroid or you have a diabetes, you get the medication for that.
And that's it. And life is for living, isn't it?
Exactly.
And, you know, just women, they're afraid.
Yeah.
And please don't be afraid.
That's
because it can be the best time of your life if you get the right treatment.
True. Well, listen, Sally-Ann, thanks for coming on today and telling us about
that.
Once more before you go, can you give that web address out, the English doctor web address?
Of course. It's menopausedoctor.co.uk and that's Dr. Louise Newson. Who'd be quite a famous menopause doctor, but it's a really fantastic website. And of course, ourselves, I mean, we have great information. And also the NICE guidelines, NICE, if anyone looks them up on the internet, that will clearly state how menopause should be treated and that bloods are never to be used to diagnose it. That's also very useful to read those.
Yeah. because they go up and down your hormones, so that's no issue. So, and once again, the safe patches to start off with.
The safe
education, like the patches to, if women are listening today that they want to start on a patch, which are the safe ones?
Yeah,
body identical.
Gel. Body identical. I mean, we've got patches. We've got Estradot and Everol, and the gels, the Divigel and Estragel. Any of those, yeah, would be your safest bet, and you know, nice and gentle to start off with.
And it might take a while to probably get to where you need to be at. It might not work, you know, straight away. Sometimes you might have to increase the dose,
yeah.
Is that true? Yeah,
everyone is different, yeah. Debbie. Like, I've seen women that within a few days they feel brand new, which is fabulous, and that can happen. And then others, it might take a month or two, maybe longer. I mean, it's sort of as a rule, your GP or whoever you see will prescribe for you, and they'll probably ask to see you in 3 months' time to review and then possibly tweak, which means increase or decrease or add in. Or, you know, it's a bit of a journey, but remember, it's the rest of your life. And just to add as well, that the guidelines now are that there's no arbitrary limits to be set on duration of use. In simple terms, is HRT is for life. Years ago, they used to say just for a few years.
Mm.
And there's no data to support that anywhere. It was crazy. So you're replacing something that's missing forever.
Yeah. You don't stop your medication for a thyroid after a few years.
Exactly.
So why would you stop that? Yeah, it makes sense. Yeah. It does. So thanks a million, Sally-Ann. We'll talk to you again real soon, and you'll come into the studio hopefully very soon.
I will do, Debbie.
Okay, thanks.
Bye. Thank you.